Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello? Craig? Petraeus?
Hello, welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ant in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay. Why were you not speaking?
I just forgot that.
He's gone.
Hey, Katrina, how's it going?
It's going fine. How are you?
I'm friggin' perfect. What a great way to start the show.
He dropped off the switchboard. Something's going on.
Well, that's good, because we can do our own little show. Remember what we were going to call it? Beep.
What's that? Off? That's right. That's a good name.
Yeah. The Katrina and Craig Show, Deep South. Because my voice is deep, and, well, yours is Southern.
And I'm from the South. So.
Oh, well, there you go. That would explain the voice. Just saying.
Okay, Ed, you can call back in now.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry, but it appears that my my cell phone is possessed and keeps hanging up on me. Not myself.
Just like all your girlfriends.
Whatever, dude. So anyway, back to the introductions. We're joined by Craig, who's a jerk, and we also have other fellows to throw a stone at her.
Not much. Pimps up, hoes down.
That's like the coolest thing you've ever said on the show.
This is my...
But anyway, we will be joined by, no thanks to Craig, we will be joined by Lance Storm in about 25 minutes. Lance will be falling into the show.
I see. Well, I've got a great intro for him.
He's gone
again. You'll be proud. Are you serious? This guy. You know why the show's bad? It's Ed.
I can think of many reasons.
Yeah, but the main reason is the host. I'm just being honest, I mean.
This show's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like it's so bad it's good. It's like Nitro in 2000.
Yeah. Yeah, that's already. That's our fearless leader right there who's not on the phone.
So, did you watch the pay-per-view Sunday?
I did not.
You didn't?
In hindsight, I guess I should have.
I was going to let you finally pull.
Why is that every time we have Matt Storm on the show, everything has to go wrong?
I don't know. Nothing's wrong with me.
I don't know what the hell's going on, but my damn phone just keeps, like, disconnecting, and then I try to call back, and it disconnects again. It's just like...
Perhaps you should try another phone.
I only have one cell phone, dude.
Okay.
I don't have a landline. Super rich like Brian Alvarez who can afford to have a landline on his cell phone.
Oh. Yeah, I don't have a landline either.
I have a landline in my house. You have a landline in your house?
Yes, of course. How else will my mother get a hold of me? I swear to God, that's the only people that ever call. It's my wife's mother or my mother. Apparently they don't realize we have cell phones.
I was just telling Craig that I was going to finally allow Ed to proclaim a women's match, a five-star match this week after the pay-per-view Sunday. And not give him any crap about it.
You know, I haven't seen it yet. I need someone to send me a link because I had to work that night, so I didn't see it.
Just go to YouTube and type in Taryn versus Gale.
Okay, I guess I'll do that as soon as the show is over. But anything involving Gail Kim is going to be 5 stars. And anything involving Tiffany is going to add another 5 stars to that. So I'm sure it's going to be totally awesome. I can't wait to see it.
This way she's not dead. She just diamond cut her off that ramp under her ass on the floor. Damnest thing I've ever seen.
Ow.
Yeah.
She could have just called her lawyer and had Drew McIntyre end up paying for it. he's paid enough for her already.
Just call Daphne and see what to do. No.
Well, that woman. So, Lance Storm in 20 minutes, huh?
Yeah, Lance Storm in 20 minutes.
didn't figure we would do anything for the first 20 minutes, or?
You are so rude and disrespectful to Lance Storm. You know, Lance is a busy person. That might be the only time Lance can't call in, and you expect Lance to call in at your will. I mean,
not being disrespectful to the guy.
No, I was asking what you had planned for your show.
Just to fucking bullshit until he comes on?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sometimes you gotta go with the flow, Craig. You don't have to have like a list of 10 different things to talk about. I'm sure you probably do, though.
Craig, did you say last week you were going to see Star Trek?
Yes, and I did go see Star Trek. Yeah, it was good. It was excellent. I very much enjoyed it.
How was Uhura in the movie?
Well, Uhura was very attractive, but the the blondie girl, there's a blondie girl on the movie, and I can't for the life of me remember her name, but she has a 5-second scene that steals the show. I'll just say that. Yeah,
there's actually titties on the Star Trek movie?
Nope. Well, they're covered, but she made me want to boldly go, you know, but anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good movie.
That's cool.
I know we have some time to kill, so do you mind if I rant a little bit? Is it going to be about me? Okay, so I'm down to the last few Figure Four wrestling shirts. And Ed, I'm not cutting a promo on you. I was just messing around. But I got to go to the post office to send these off, obviously. And so about a week ago, I started getting into a lot of the overseas postage. So to do the overseas ones, of course, you have to label the packaging, and then you have to get a custom slip and you also have to label the slip. And then when I go to the post office, they take the slip that I filled out and the packaging, and then they write everything that I've written down twice, and they write it down in their computer. So when I go to send something to the UK or something like that, it literally takes about 5 to 7 minutes per transaction to get this package in the mail to the UK or Austria or to Marcus Groneman or whoever. I'm sorry, Marcus Groneman. So I've been dividing them up so where I'll put like 3 packages to overseas and then 3 packages to the U.S. And today was the pinnacle of stupidity in the post office. I was in the post office with 6 packages. I was there for 40 minutes. And there was only one person in line in front of me.
How many pissed off people did you have behind you?
Only 3. But this woman wanted to chit-chat, and then she noticed my zip code, and I was actually not where my post office is. And by the time she got into the first package, and she goes, "Oh, you live downtown. You should go to the post office downtown, not this one." And I said, "You mean I have to stay in my area code to send things?" And she goes, "Oh, no, I'm just kidding around, but really, you should stay downtown." And I said, "Ma'am," called her ma'am, I did. I said, "Ma'am, this is the U.S. post office. I can pretty much go to any post office I want to." She said, "Oh, yeah, that's fine, I'm just saying." And I said, "Yeah, I'm just saying, too. This is the second or third time I've gotten attitude from the U.S. post office." And I said, "It's no wonder you're going bankrupt and running out of money." And then she got all uppity. And she said, "Well, I never. I mean, seriously, this is something like out of a movie." I said, "Listen, just cut out with the chit-chat. You don't need to know where my son goes to stay. And you don't need to know where he goes to school. Just hurry up so I can get out of here, all right?"
Craig, if I was that teller, you would have been there for the next 2 hours if I wouldn't have had the manager kick you out.
I was done with this woman. Absolutely done telling me I can't go to the post office uptown. I've got to stay downtown. Good Lord.
And what's he talking about downtown? I've been to your town. You live in a suburb.
Yeah. I live... Dude, this is not the big city. There is a downtown Puyallup, Washington, and then there's a hill where all the, there's a mall and stuff like this. So they have... There is like 5 post offices within 5-6 miles from me. So...
Like going to an ATM, it's all the same shit.
Exactly.
No matter which ATM you go to, it's all the same. It doesn't matter.
So not only do I have to make sure that I have just a couple of Euro packages to go and mix them in with some of the states, the in-states packaging, but now I have to plot which post office I'm going to, and hopefully I don't get the same angry bihotch that helped me out today.
Craig, your picture's been displayed at all of them already, dude.
Oh, I'm done with this post office.
Just start sending your wife.
Send Granny. That's what Brian does. He's too lazy. Brian's got the right track. He lets Granny do all his dirty work.
Hey, if it wasn't for me and the man that shall remain nameless, we wouldn't have Figure Four shirts or anything else. So, anyway. What are you going to do?
These are situations when you're somewhere and somebody's like trying to buy something, or you're in a line and somebody starts chit-chatting you, and you just try to act as disinterested as possible so they'll leave you alone.
Yeah, so they'll leave you alone. Which brings up another story that I heard today. the lady, the 85-year-old lady that just won the Powerball, there was a woman in line to buy lottery tickets, but this frail elderly woman, she let her go in front of her.
Well, what happened was the lady yeah. was in line. She was in line, and then she left the line, and then she came
right.
back, and then that lady kind of started to say that you cut, and her kid told mom she was here before. So, but I can understand her being pissed off about it. But you still got to find out, did the old lady use the quick pick? Did she use her own numbers? Did the lady behind her use a quick pick? Or did she, I mean, it's a little harder than just to say she ripped her off. I mean, but I'd be pissed
yeah.
if it was me.
If she picked her own numbers, it wouldn't matter anyway.
True. True. But I think if I was the old lady, I think I would throw some scratch her way just for
she's
85. Nice.
She ain't got long. Let's be honest.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know when they asked the lady, you know, that let the elderly woman cut in line, she says, "Oh, I don't regret it a bit." I'm like, "Are you serious?" Because I regret not being in Florida.
I go get drunk or something.
I regret not being in Florida buying a ticket. You know.
Yeah, and then when she dies in a couple of years, it's going to be a big mess because she only took one of her kids with her and is only going to share it with one of her kids. So, you know, when she passes away, which won't be long, they're all going to be fighting for it. And she should have just let the one she wanted to give it to claim it instead of claiming it herself, you know.
To be quite honest, if that happened to me, I'd probably gone home and cried or something.
Yeah.
Cried if you won or cried if you lost?
Cried if I lost that opportunity, you know, so it was me or her, and it was her.
Yeah, if it was me, I'd never talk to any old lady after that again. I'd just be scarred.
And just go home and go to sleep or something. Fuck it.
Sleep in a running car in the garage. But anyway, I have something wrestling related we can talk about.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spoil the show.
I did get to go to a ROH show this past Saturday.
That's right.
And it was actually pretty good. It was actually they actually had a really good show, and the best thing about the show was one of the matches was Jay Lethal, and he was taking on, the heck is his name? ACH, is that right?
Yes, ACH, that's right.
Yeah, anyway, ACH, who is apparently from San Antonio, or at least been in San Antonio for a long time, so he was like the hometown kid, and he had like his whole family kind of like in one section, the most black people I've ever seen at a wrestling show in San Antonio. And well, it's a true statement. I'm sorry. Anyway, they have this match, and they had a fucking badass match. I mean, it was a long, badass match. All these near falls. ACH hit this awesome fucking springboard, like Stone Cold Stunner thing, and Lethal hit his Macho Man elbow, and the crowd was like, even though ACH is a hometown kid, the crowd was kind of split because they were chanting for like both of them throughout the whole match. And it ended with Lito getting the win, and then he proceeded to put a ACH over like $1 million. I don't think I've ever seen anyone put like someone over like that. And basically all the black people in attendance were almost in tears. And it was actually, you know, they always bring up on like the Dave shows how like guys like Nash and Hogan and Buff and Luger like try and claim they put people over when they really didn't. And this guy won the match, but he still put over the other guy like he was like $1 million. And it was one of those like really, really good, great scenes, kind of like the when Jay Briscoe won the title. You know, kind of emotional. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. I was very impressed by Jay Lethal.
Yeah, he's had some tremendous matches as of late. The Michael Elgin match stands out big for me right now, and he's had one other real standout match, and he's totally underused and underutilized in TNA. It's too bad.
Well, they would often use, I mean, that every once in a while they'd do something with, like, they had it be Ric Flair with the figure four or something like that.
True.
He got a lot of time,
momentum.
I mean, when he was in TNA.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they got rid of him. He's one of those guys you want to have on your roster, you know, no matter what, I think.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
and then, like,
Doug Williams, so.
Well, like, they also, like, they had, for both the show, they had him and ACH do a lot of media, and they both did, like, one of the drive-by talk shows in the afternoon. And Jay was awesome. He was doing, like, pretty much, he didn't do it the whole interview, but he was doing, like, a lot of the Macho Man. And it was great. And then Eddie Edwards had an awesome match with, was it Taven, Matt Taven? And Roderick and Adam Cole had an awesome match. And then at the end of the match, Roderick won, and Adam Cole, like, refused a handshake. So I think Adam Cole was going heel in Norwich,
nice.
Finally. And then Jay and Davey had, like, an awesome match. And it was a pretty good show. And then, like, Carino was there, and they did a skit where he's kind of talking shit to one of the San Antonio newscasters. And then Jay Briscoe comes out to save him. And I figured it was Jay against one of the other guys from Scum, but it was actually him against a Carino. And they actually had a cool little match. And yeah, it was a good show. I mean, it was probably around 350, 400 people there. And it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was enjoyable.
ROH, did you see that Matt Hardy video?
No.
Which one?
Where he's got, like, flashcards. Like one of those anti-bullying things. It's, like, up on the front page. I don't know. You guys haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, he was just going through, like, the fans, the ROH fans. It was kind of a takeoff, and it was similar to, like, this one girl who, like, was bullied, and she did this, like, final video where she held up these cards with, she just wrote a bunch of stuff telling her story, and then she ended up killing herself.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And in the background, you could hear, in the background of the Matt Hardy video, you could hear, they've got his WWF theme song, except it's piano music. It's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, that girl still making, I mean, she killed herself years ago, and that shit's still, like, making the rounds and stuff.
I know, the first I've heard of it, when I first saw that Matt Hardy video the other day, and somebody brought it up. Don't bully people, it's me.
Yeah, I would never bully anyone in my life. I totally
agree.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I just bully people who don't fight back.
Well, that's kind of bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's me, because you're pretty scrawny, so I don't know who you'd even be able to bully anyway.
Okay. You're a fat stoner. I don't know who you'd be able to bully.
I'd be able to bully you. That's too much to bully.
No, because you get punched right in your fucking face.
Here we go.
Whatever.
Anyway,
not for me.
Anyway, back on track. I was really surprised to see ROH that far into the South. I would have never figured them going.
I don't know what the ratings are, but they actually show them twice on two different channels here. They're on like the on one night they're on like CW, and then on the other night they're on like the Fox one. And
I see.
Yeah, so they got plenty.
So they're part of the Sinclair thing, and you happen to be a television station that does it. I gotcha.
Yeah. So, but it was pretty cool.
Good.
I It was funny because they had like this little snack bar area set up, and basically they just had like little bags of potato chips and canned sodas, and everything is like $2. And they were actually making some money because no one else realized, like I realized, that right next to the restroom is a fucking 20-ounce fucking soda machine. So for like half the price, for basically like $1.25, I got like double the soda. But I was walking to the restroom during one of the shows, and I see a guy at the soda machine. I think to myself, man, that dude kind of looked like Rudy Boy Gonzalez. And then later on, I find out that he was at the show, and I'm thinking, it probably was, man. I probably could have bullshitted him at the show, but I messed up on that one. But yeah. And I watched the show with your soon-to-be neighbor, Supersonic. Are you excited that he's moving to Seattle with you guys?
Oh,
you have to watch TNA pay-per-views and WWE pay-per-views a little?
I don't think so.
He was normal this time. Yeah.
Okay.
I have another story from this show, but I don't want to offend anyone because the person was a cool person, but I just forgot I even brought it up, but it was kind of creepy, but I'll tell
you
all the story.
You started it going, might as well tell it.
All right. 3 years ago at Super China, at a Super Little China's Buffet Day we had here in San Antonio, it was me, Doc G, and another board member named Aaron Quinn. Okay, so this is us three dudes. Okay, well, I met Aaron Quinn again at the ROH show, except he wasn't a dude this time.
The what?
He wasn't a dude this time.
I don't know how to take that. He changed out the plumbing.
He was wearing a dress and women's shoes and a blouse and had like a chick hairstyle, and it was his real hair. But yeah,
did you immediately think you smoked too much dope or something?
No, I was just a little tripped out.
Now, is this cross-dressing or is this the whole deal with the operations and everything?
The thing I can't tell. I'm actually not too sure about that, honestly. I mean, it could have gone either way.
Hmm.
But, I mean, he's a nice dude. He was cool at Super Final Payday. She was nice. She was nice Saturday. So, I mean, it's not like I want to say the guy's a horrible person. I'm just saying it was kind of weird meeting, you know, I met a guy 3 years ago, and then 3 years later I meet a chick, you know what I mean, or he's a chick. And it was kind of a trip, but like I say, I mean, I got nothing bad about to say about the guy, it's just that it was a shock seeing the difference. You know what I mean? So.
Did you follow him to the bathroom to see where he went?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I do know that he told me he, like, when he, because he had come by to, like, to talk to us, say hello, and then he's like, when he left, he's like, oh, I got to go keep my husband company. So he was there with another guy. Yeah, it's kind
of
weird.
I think anything's wrong with that. It'd just be odd if it was me. One person's a guy and then one person's a woman the next time you see them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was. I hung out with the pizza machine, so I hung out with, like, really, really weirdos, so this one wasn't too bad. But anyway, what did you do this past weekend, Patricia? No, I did not.
Did you get his number?
No, I did not. She was with somebody. I wasn't going to be rude like that.
Now, what was he in the chick?
He wouldn't give it up, huh?
All right.
Yeah.
I was kind of glad. But anyway. What did you do this week, Couture? Because apparently Lance is going to be 5 minutes late because he's eating.
Yeah.
What did I do this week? I didn't do much of anything but work.
That's good.
And live.
Actually, I had quite an interesting weekend. I know I've been talking a lot, but
My wife got her tonsils taken out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So she's actually on the couch right now, and she's got about two, maybe three Oxycontins in her. So she's just kind of, we're going to watch Pink Floyd's Wall later on, you know, just for funsies. So, yeah.
Watch you on the Oxycontin? That'd be a treat.
I'm just kidding.
Oxycontin isn't really good for you. It's very strong and powerful, and you probably shouldn't be taking it. So you should probably get rid of it, and by doing that, you should send it to me.
Yes, you should go back to the post office that you were at before and send it to the mail.
Well, he's going to have to because he's bugging me for money for shirts that I don't even know if he sent me the address to where I'm supposed to send the money.
Yes, I did, actually.
By Facebook or by text?
Facebook.
I didn't know they gave you that kind of drugs for like just your tonsils.
Why did she wait so long to do the tonsil gimmick? I mean, it's the best to do it when you're a kid. And you can get all the ice cream you want and not have to worry about it.
First of all, the tonsil gimmick is something we do in the privacy of our own bedroom. Anyway, she went into the doctor, and there was actually a mass on one of them, and the doc just said, yeah, we're taking those out. So, it was a necessary thing. It wasn't just for funsies.
Well, I think we are joined by our guest here, and Craig, and she's been so rude and disrespectful to the man. Could you please introduce him?
Well, this might not help. It's been said that Bret Hart has had some sunny days, but people have also wondered if Lance Storm has ever caught any summer rays. Please welcome to the show from Storm Wrestling Academy, Mr. Lance Storm.
How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
How's it going, man?
Not too bad.
Cool. Thanks for doing the show, Lance, and we really appreciate it, especially after we had to rudely bump you last week because of Craig. But once again, I appreciate you doing the show this week. And we'll let Couture start the interview since he wasn't with us last week.
You want me to start? Okay.
Yes.
I was going to ask Lance what it was like at the Bret Hart Appreciation Night that he was at Raw a couple weeks ago.
It was pretty cool, although throughout the night I'm like, does anybody know what we're doing for this thing? Because I was just kind of curious what was going on, and nobody seemed to really know. I guess the three or four people that spoke and went down to the ring for Bret sort of knew what they were doing, but nobody else really seemed to know what, and they're like, I think we're just going out on the stage. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm assuming, you know, Vince, Pat, Jerry, and Jericho, and Sean had a game plan, but everybody else really didn't know what the heck was going on. Throughout the night, I only saw Bret once during the afternoon. I guess I was just in different places all day. So, but it was cool to see the bit and then go out on stage and stuff was cool. Standing in Gorilla and watching Vince and everybody pop when Bret Hart hit the Pat Patterson on his knees line was quite entertaining.
speaking of that, the next day, it was on Facebook, or maybe it was Twitter, but Bret, like, apologized for that. Or he had to apologize for that. But did anybody mind that? Did Pat mind that comment? I mean, or is this basically just the PC police, you know, kind of came out after the next day?
I assume just the PC police. And again, if Pat didn't like the line, then Bret could have just apologized to him face-to-face. But I assumed it was just two friends joking. I don't know how anyone could be offended by that. It's not like he said anything bad about anybody. He made a joke to a friend. I think the world has gotten way too sensitive about being politically correct, and people take offense at the dumbest and simplest things. You know what I mean? It was funny. And again, if Pat didn't like it because he felt it was at his expense, then Bret can talk to him personally and doesn't need to, and I don't see how it affects anybody else.
I agree. I just found it when I read that, it's just like, man, I mean, everything was for fun and stuff, and just people got to kind of bring down other people's fun because they're offended for somebody else. You know, it's just I just don't get that. It's just wrestling. It's just not the same anymore.
It's not even just wrestling. It's just the world in general. It's like you can't say anything, and it's like, you know, did he say there was anything bad about it? He just said, oh, I get nervous, and pats on his knees. It's like, so? It's like, who cares? You should be able to joke with friends and say things. And again, you know, if Brian wants to take a pot shot and make fun of Vinny or Ed for being overweight, it's like the rest of the world doesn't need to be offended. It's like it's two friends joking and making fun of each other. And if Ed says something ignorant to Brian, it's like, it's between them. Shut up. Don't worry about it.
What do you think about that not being on TV? Or do you think it should have been on TV?
I don't know if it should have been. I think it could have been good television. So if they just wanted to pull a rating, then I think it could have been. But traditionally they haven't been, and maybe they do like having them as a extra tease on the DVD eventually. And obviously they're pushing the hell out of this app. And I know a lot of people get annoyed at it, but I think... Me, I always assume when they try to promote you going to the website or the app, to me it's that Plan C safety net of if they ever lose TV, if the TV landscape gets to the point where, you know, a station doesn't want to pick them up, if they can get 80%, 90%, ideally 100% of their audience going to the app for different features and different programming, and I'm assuming that's why they do the simulcast, watch the app, watch Raw. If you can get 100% of your audience watching both, then it puts you in a better power position when it comes to contract negotiation with TV stations, because they can't pull the, well, without us, you're dead, you got to take this offer. Because if they can get a high enough percentage of their audience watching Raw simultaneously on their app, it's like, well, they could just move the whole damn show there. So I think trying to build a good online presence either via the app or the website is just smart. And again, if they put it on and there was an extra quarter hour that pulled a slightly bumped rating because of the Bret Hart Night Appreciation thing, it's like it doesn't really change their bottom end. So if they decide to want to, you know, push people to the app with it, I've got no problem with that. It aired on TV up here in Canada, which I thought was great. I haven't actually seen the broadcast version, but I was there for it, so I don't need to.
It really only other time they've done something like that, I mean, like on TV, would be the Ric Flair thing, I believe.
Well, yeah, but the Ric Flair and the Shawn thing were retirements.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't air the Bret Hart Appreciation Night from Toronto, I don't believe. You know, it ended up on YouTube from cell phone footage, and I think it ended up on a DVD. You know, they've done it, and they weren't planning on doing the Pat Patterson one in Montreal on TV. So, you know, it is the established norm. It's just an extra little thing.
Not too long ago, when was the last time they were here in San Antonio, they did a Shawn Michaels Appreciation thing. Did that come out on TV? I don't even remember.
I don't think so.
I don't know. And didn't they just do something in Seattle? I think it was at a live event, but it was, again, they had Shawn at it and just did a little bit of a thank you tip of the hat. I think they did a European tour with Bret that was sort of a appreciation tour where it was a chance for, you know, Bret to go out in front of the crowd and just say thank you and the fans to see him one more time. So I think it's nice that they keep it a little more intimate than necessarily just putting it on TV.
It kind of feels like you're getting something extra, like on the app. You know, just feels like you're getting something a little bit extra that you wouldn't normally see on TV.
Yeah, and again, I think it's smart to try to build, you know, the app, the website, and because I firmly believe that, again, I don't know if it's going to be 10 years, 20 years, or whatever, but I think television as we know it is going to eventually evolve, and it's all going to be via the Internet, basically, you know, with, you know, Hulu and Netflix and On Demand and other streaming versions and so forth. People are watching more and more television via, you know, their Internet connection as it is. You know, even a lot of network television shows, the shows air on their websites after the fact. So it is heading that way. So the fact that WWE is trying to, you know, get the app, get the website over, it's probably smart.
Go ahead, Craig.
I was wondering, Lance, how'd you do in your test today?
It was a long one, and it's the I'm assuming they take them to the level where they're hard enough that you're not supposed to be able to successfully do them all.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what the norm is supposed to be. So it is quite, I don't want to say stressful, because, again, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It's a anonymous survey, then they'll just see how messed up and stupid we all are. But when you're sitting there trying to concentrate and do, we should probably mention, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm part of the Sports Legacy Institute brain donor thing that Chris Nowinski's involved with through the Boston School of Medicine. And as a donor, every year there's I do an online survey, just sort of my state of health and so forth. And then there's also a phone interview that I did this afternoon. And they test your cognitive function as well as your memory with a lot of questions over the phone and so forth. And I did that today. And the interview was about an hour. About half of it was the test, where they, you know, give you things to remember and recall and so forth. And I'm a bit of a type A personality and a perfectionist, so, you know, I want to ace everything, and I think it's designed so you can't, which makes it frustrating.
So now, will you get some results back, or?
You don't get results. They don't let you know how you do. They take your stuff, and they'll take everybody else's stuff, and they'll throw it in a big vat and see how many people do well and what kind of levels of deterioration. And I'm assuming that's the big thing, is that it seems like more than a year ago, but I've done this one before. And again, the first thing they hit you with, it's like, we're going to say 15 things at you. We're going to name 15 items, and then you'll have a minute and a half to try to recall as many of them as you can. I was like, okay. And so then they, you know, curtain, drum, farm, school, nose, you know, cat. And it's like they say 15 things at you, and they go, okay, go, how many can you remember? And you're not allowed to write anything down. You're supposed to just sit there. So then you try to say as many as you can. And, again, maybe last year I got 12. Maybe this year I got 10. Maybe next year I'll get 8. I don't know. But I'm assuming that's more what they're interested in, is the speed of degeneration.
Makes sense. Okay.
Now, are you just, like, signed up to do these like, tests yearly, or does it go beyond that? I mean, do they, like, actually get possession of your brain when you pass away? Or how involved are you in this?
Yeah, that's the first stage. You agree to donate your brain and spinal column. I don't know if it's the brain stem or the whole spinal column. I guess it's the brain stem. But, again, I think they can take my whole spine if they want. I've probably signed away from that. But, anyway, the whole spinal cord and your brain, you agree to give them when you pass away. And then, in addition to that, there's other levels. You can take part in, you know, the surveys and the studies and the quizzes. Like, you don't have to do that. You can just give them your brain and go, that's all I'm doing. That's the one thing that they're really good at, that you really have many, many levels of consent. And every year you can pull out if you want. You can have it anonymous. You can allow them to say that you're part of the study. You can allow them to publish your results and stuff post-death, or you can say no. You can have my brain, but you got to keep it anonymous. You've got a lot of different choices. I think there's one, too, where they can collect your DNA and store that, which you can say yes to or no to. So anywhere from just, you know, when I'm dead, you can take my brain, but kayfabe, to taking the tests, keeping the information, letting them go public with it if it helps. So you've got all different levels, and I have to re-sign consent every year. And, again, they send forms to my next of kin and so forth that I want them to know that these are my wishes, so that they are prepared and so forth. So they've got and they get the results every year to go, hey, he's still doing this. We're doing our survey. He's part of our tests and so forth. This is still his consent. So everybody knows about it. So they don't have that awkward time of, you know, the guy passes away and then they're trying to track down a widow. You know, and you try, I think there's a window of a day or two after you pass that they need your brain. So, you know, 24 hours after, you know, a woman loses her husband, you don't want to be the guy phone up going, hey, we're doing this study about brains. You know, is there any chance we could have your husband's brain? So this is supposed to bypass all of this because I've got a card in my wallet that says they get my brain. And my wife and my mom both know that they're supposed to get my brain. So while they still have to, I guess, make that call, at least the groundwork's laid. And hopefully then my wife and my mom just go, oh, yep, for sure. Doctors let them have it, and they're off and running. And, again, if it does somebody some good, great. I find that most days I don't use my brain as it is. I'm certainly not going to need it once I die.
Now, going back to the ceremony, how did you get that prime spot to the side of John Cena in front of Hornswoggle? Because you probably got as much airtime as Cena did when they showed the guys on the stage.
More just a case of everybody in WWE being very polite and respectful. So I think because, again, I am an older veteran now, that when it came time to, oh, we're all going to Gorilla, all of the other guys, and maybe that, again, wasn't even just the fact that I'm the old guy. It's they know that I'm from Calgary and probably closer to Brett than they are, so the Damian Sandows and the Cody Rhodes all sort of, oh, no, after you, Lance, go ahead. And I ended up going out after, you know, only a few people and decided that, you know, I'd like to actually see what's going on, so standing behind Hornswoggle is not a bad place to be. I like the guy, but he doesn't block your view at all. And I even joked, someone sent me a still photo, and it's like, you can tell I'm having a conversation with Cody. And I think I even, actually, it might have been, I'm trying to remember which one it was, whether it was Cody or Kurt Hawkins on the other side, sort of joking that I still have my bow guarding the camera skills. It's like, stand off the shoulder of the most over guy you're around. And then I couldn't get front row, but I got second row behind Hornswoggle, so... Because I was just off John Cena's right shoulder, so it's like, you know, he's going to be on camera.
True.
It was the if you go back and watch the Invasion, it was the DDP spot, in that he always stood right off of Stephanie McMahon's shoulder, because you knew the camera was going to be focused on her when she's doing the promo. So Paige always managed to find a Stephanie shoulder. So on Bret Hart night, I managed to find John Cena's and stood there.
Now, a lot of people were making, Brian brought it up on the update about you and Summer Rae finally meeting. How did this come about? What was the big deal about you guys, like, meeting for the first time?
You're confusing two stories. The big deal was Renee, what's her name in WWE? Renee Young, I guess, is the name in WWE. Renee Paquette from The Score, who used to do work with Ardo O'Cal on The Score. The Canadian sports channel that airs Raw. We were friends by association through mutual friends of both Mauro Ranallo, Jimmy Corderas, and Ardo O'Cal on The Score. So when she went to WWE, we started a Twitter relationship, if you will, just sort of joking and having fun, even though we'd never met. So when I saw her at Raw, it was the first time I actually met her in person and said hi, and we just chatted. And it was more just a half joke. That the highlight of coming down was meeting Renee Young. Well, I was glad to meet her. It was more just sort of putting over our silly Twitter relationship. And Brian decided to tweet about that, or not tweet about it, put it in the daily update, how I was really excited to finally meet her. And then somehow, I'm assuming just because I posted a photo of Summer Rae and I backstage, that you managed to confuse that photo with the story of Brian's. Because Summer Rae I actually met in developmental. In March when I went down for that week to be a guest trainer, because I worked with all the guys, and I also went in and worked with the girls a little bit, and Summer Rae was one of the, you know, 10 girls or whatever that were there at the time.
One of our listeners wanted us to definitely talk about NXT. When you worked with the girls, what did you actually tell them or show them, and were you also working with Sarah Del Rey?
Sarah wasn't there when I was there. They were doing a diva tryout evaluation camp in L.A. at the time. So Sarah was in L.A. I didn't get to work in the ring a whole lot with the girls, but they did give me a chance to just have, you know, a sit-down chat with them on a couple occasions, and they could pick my brain and ask questions and just sort of overall questions and advice and so forth, rather than actually getting in the ring and working with them a lot. But it still, you know, spent a half hour or more each day just talking with them and stuff. So,
any questions you remember that they might have asked you?
Not right offhand. There's a few that I do, but again, those were personal questions, so we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Well, it's just again when different things about how to deal with the office and different things. It's like discussing them might just get in heat. So.
Yeah. No, that's totally understandable. And basically, how when you were down there, what was your, like, daily routine? I mean, did you have, like you mentioned, you talked to them for, like, half an hour a day. I mean, did you just have, like, a set schedule? Did you just kind of, like, play it by ear? I mean, how did it work when you were down there?
Well, I was there all day, every day, so as far as a set schedule, because they run, they've got their, again, I don't know how many people they have in developmental, but they got a boatload, and they're divided up into, you know, beginner, immediate, you know, advanced, so to speak, groups, and then the girls, they've got four or five different sessions a day going on, and I was there from the beginning of the first one to the end of the last one, and it really, there wasn't any structure to it as far as what I had. It was more a, you know, go in and sit on the thing and observe what they're doing, and, you know, if you're add your two cents, help out, offer different, you know, thoughts and constructive criticism and so forth. Ended up working really well timing-wise because there was a few people, I think Terry Taylor was on vacation or he wasn't there, he's doing something. Norman Smiley, I think, might have been in L.A. With Sarah. So they were shorthanded on trainers. Billy Gunn was on the road as well. I think it was one of the New Age Outlaw weekends and stuff. So they were shorter handed. So, you know, Ricky Steamboat was looking after the beginner class, which he normally doesn't do. And Ricky's not supposed to be in the ring doing physical stuff. So it ended up working out really well because, you know, Ricky had his agenda on stuff that he's supposed to be teaching these guys and working on in the beginner class. And it allowed me to, again, he's like, oh, we're supposed to be showing this kind of stuff today. It allowed me to get in the ring and demonstrate and do my stuff hands-on while Ricky's doing the intellectual instruction and so forth. So we did that, you know, morning and early afternoon. And then, you know, the next class would come in, and, you know, I think Bill ran the next class. And, again, we just sort of went over what he had scheduled to do those days, and then I just, again, offered my opinions and so forth and my insight. And then after that class, I went over and worked with the girls, and then the main roster NXT guys, if you will, that are on TV, were the class after that. And again, I got in the ring and worked with them a little bit. And then the last day, I just wanted, because it was, again, this is what I find when you get really big groups, is sometimes the dotting the I's and crossing the T's get overlooked. So it was just some minor techniques and stuff on wrestling that I thought was a little bit sloppy with a lot of them. And I just said, you know, instead of just me taking part, can I just, there was extra rings, can I just grab guys one at a time and go work with them by myself for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, just work on a few things? They're like, sure. So I'd grab somebody and, you know, go off by myself with them and just get in the ring with them and wrestle and roll and giving them some pointers and some tips and so forth. And then I, all right, you head back and send me somebody else. And I just worked with, you know, a lot of guys individually that I wanted to or thought, you know, could use a help in some ways.
The
Tampa setup had three rings up all the time. There's one area where there's two, and then there's another room where they've shot TV and stuff that's got another one. So there's three rings that were up permanently. So they could run. Okay. They usually didn't like to run separate classes in this area where the two rings are side by side. So they might have two sessions going at the same time. One will be in the other room, and then one will be in the room where the two rings are. And especially when they're doing a lot of their, you know, their warm-ups and their calisthenics and stuff with the beginners and so forth, having the two rings kind of helps.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kutcher.
Now, going back to the Legacy Institute, I was wondering if you suffered any, or did you suffer any concussions during your career, or were you diagnosed with any?
I've never been diagnosed with a concussion, but what they currently consider a concussion, I've definitely had a couple, because you don't actually need to get knocked out, you know, have the dilated pupils and the vomiting where they used to say, oh, that's a concussion, you know, the other one you just ring your bell. But, you know, if you see stars even for a minute, you know what I mean, if you get hit and have that stunned where you're just for a second, oh, shit, give me a second, it's like, you know, those are considering concussions now. And there's definitely been, again, I can't pick out individual ones, there's a couple I can, but there's definitely, you know, I would say minimum of three and perhaps as high of, you know, lifetime 10 times where I banged my head real good and went, oof, that hurt. So those could be, you know, classed as concussions. And, you know, I think, well, you guys are from, especially Ed down there, but, you know, up here in Canada, every kid, you know, who learns to skate at some point in time has his skates go up from underneath him and bangs his head on the ice. Because, again, especially in my generation, when you were a kid, you didn't wear a helmet unless you were playing hockey. And by that, you mean playing hockey in a league. You know, if you're just out skating or playing, you know, grabbing a puck and a stick and heading out on the lake or the ice to skate around and just shoot a puck around. Nobody wore helmets. So there's definitely been a few, complete feet out from under me, back bump on the ice, bang my head as a kid that were probably concussions. So I would think that it'd be impossible for me to have less than three, but I would find it extremely doubtful I've had more than 10.
Have you ever thought of that in developmental, they're like training guys doing bumps with headgear. Have you ever thought about doing that with your school?
I don't agree with it.
Oh, you don't?
No, I think it's a case of if you got the headgear on, you're going to be careless and not tuck your chin.
You're going to be fixed no matter what.
Yeah, where, again, when I first start teaching people to bump, it's, you're starting from a squat position where you're only a foot above the mat and you're taking easy bumps and keeping straight. And I've run 8 years, 3 camps, 24 camps, a dozen people. I've run, say, 250, 300 people through, and I don't think there's been but two or three people that ended up, banging their head and getting a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are, getting to the end of training and they're good bumps. And again, a couple of them were people that have wrestled for a while. It's just, you are going to take a bad bump at some point. But I think wearing headgear all the time is just going to make you more careless. And then eventually you're going to have to take that headgear off, and then you've got to readjust again. It's almost, my very first day at camp, a lot of guys asked, should we get elbow pads? And, a couple guys skin their elbows, and Keith Hart, and it was a great piece of advice. He says, if you get elbow pads now, you'll never pick up your elbows. He says, if you don't wear elbow pads, after a week or so, you're going to learn to pick up your elbows. And, obviously, you don't want to bang your head for a full week. But, for the first few weeks, you shouldn't be doing anything of any speed, caliber, high impact anyway. So it's been such a minor, minor occurrence here that I really don't think it would help. And I think you run the risk of, they're pushing people to be intense and be aggressive and perhaps pushing people too quickly, then you will get concussions. But just going, hey, learn to bump, put this helmet on, I think you run the risk of them being more careless and not taking care of it. Much like, there's often a lot less head trauma in, sports that don't wear helmets. When you put helmets on people, they just, hey, I can lead with my head, I don't care.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, you just got done doing Steve Austin's show, knowing your thoughts on testosterone replacement therapy and steroids and all that, I couldn't help but notice on Austin's show, one of his big sponsors was a company that basically sold supplements, and his boast was, it will increase your testosterone. What are your thoughts on supplements that kind of do the same thing as TRT?
Well, I'd have to know a lot more about the individual supplement and what they actually do before I'm going to sort of pass too much judgment one way or the other. Where, again, if it's a supplement by where, hey, if you, again, maybe if you, eat these certain foods and take these certain vitamins, your body will actually naturally produce more testosterone and it boosts your testosterone, then it's like, I'm not going to have too much of a problem with it. If it is just a supplement that's got, testosterone or a steroid in it, and they're just labeling it as, oh, hey, have some T+, and it's really just another version of, again, TRT, then I'm certainly not going to be as much of a fan of it. But
sure.
Again, I'm again, if you're competing in a competitive sport that bans these things, then I would have a huge problem with it.
Right.
But if you're just, again, Craig, you feel like you want to have a little bit more energy and be able to get your flagpole up past half mast, and T+ does it for you.
Right.
Know what I mean? It's your body, it's your life. I don't care.
Sure.
Much like, again, I will complain about the idiots that fail their pot tests while they're competing in MMA. It's like, it's banned. Don't do it. But, you know what I mean, if you're not competing in MMA and Ed wants to go home and smoke a joint, it's none of my damn business.
That's fair.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Ed's fine with that.
I don't think Ed's going to be competing in MMA either, so.
That's true.
No, and if he were, I don't think there's enough pot in the world to help him out.
Well, I want to kind of change the subject to TV. And did you ever finish watching Battlestar Galactica?
I haven't, although we have gone back and started wrapping it up. I got to say, I really started season four of the last season.
Yeah, season four of the last.
Yeah, I started really losing interest. I don't know if it was the tail end of three, but definitely the beginning of four, when it sort of stopped being people against Cylons, and it's, you know, the Cylons weren't getting along and the humans weren't getting along, and I'm like, I don't like anybody anymore. You can all just piss off and die. And I really started losing interest. And I could tell my wife was too, because instead of being, you know, every night, oh, hey, let's get another episode of Battlestar, we sort of, oh, is there anything on? And then we started getting into Game of Thrones, and we really started liking Game of Thrones, so we just stopped watching Battlestar. And I kind of resigned to the fact that, you know, I'm guessing we're not going to go back, although many people said that the finale's worth it.
Yeah,
Yeah, we ended up getting to the point where we've caught up now. We're up to date on Game of Thrones, so now it's like, well, you got one episode a week. So it was just, I think, last weekend, because we were up to date and we had nothing to do. And I said to my wife, I was like, well, you want to give Battlestar a go and see if we can finish it up? She's like, sure. And again, I think we're right around episode 10 in season 4, and we were getting fairly into it, and I think we ended up watching like 3 or 4 episodes last weekend. So I think we will probably end up finishing it up, because again, we've got one episode of Game of Thrones to watch this weekend, and then so we'll probably catch a few more. So we probably will end up finishing it up now, but they did lose us there at the beginning of season 4.
Yeah, season 4 kind of like, it's like they had like a, you know, a real tight plan for seasons 1 and 2 and then like the start of 3. And then it's kind of like they kind of like had to drag their feet to keep the series going. But there's an awesome swerve. I don't know if you got to that coming up. And then the finale is, it's really worth it. I mean, the finale, I thought, was one of the greatest series finales ever. And
All right, well, no spoilers, because they've just found Earth. So, well, just don't give me anything past that.
Okay. And what I was actually wanting, I was also going to bring up Games of Thrones, because I saw you post about that on Twitter. And I just watched all three seasons within the past, I guess, maybe a week and a half. And I think that show is, like, so awesome. And I was wondering, what was your reaction to
everyone's
reaction?
Careful before you go on. I haven't watched last week's yet. I haven't watched last week's episode yet, so. If that's what you're asking, don't talk about it yet.
Okay, no problem. I
hear there's a big swerve going on, and I don't want to know anything about it yet. Okay. I'm hopefully going to watch that this evening when I wrap up with you guys.
No problem. But I'll ask some other questions. What are your favorite characters? Because there's so many characters, and there's such a, like, you know, like, Jamie Lannister is like a heel throughout most of it, and then toward the end he's starting to turn into like a baby face. Who are your like favorite characters from the series?
Tyrion's my favorite. I love the midget. I think he's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think most people feel the same way. I mean, he's my favorite character by far. I mean, he's awesome. When I thought he almost got killed that one time, I was like very disappointed.
And with the exception of him, I don't think it's, because it's not even so much about, oh, I like this character or this character, because there's so many threads throughout the story. Like, I'm really enjoying, you know, Jon Snow north of the wall. Actually, he's back south of the wall again now, but. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I really enjoyed that portion of the story, and I'm really enjoying, I can never remember her name, Khaleesi, you know what I mean? It's like where there's so many, I guess it's each kingdom that, you know, until they overlap, it's sort of, you know, its own separate little storyline, show, what have you. And, you know, I like several of the people in, you know, Khaleesi's kingdom and storyline, if you will. So it's like each segment's got really great stuff, and I'm really enjoying the show.
Yeah, I am too, but I guess we should stop, because like I say, I don't want to give the rest of it away from you, so I'll allow it. Katuri, go ahead and go on.
Well, aside from wrestling, like, what kind of shows do you regularly watch on TV?
Very few, to be honest. I think there's only two shows on regular TV that I watch, in that I'm a huge Big Bang Theory fan as far as a comedy, and I enjoy Elementary. And those are really the only shows that I got into as a TV show. Where again, Game of Thrones was, you know, I was like, hey, there's, you know, three seasons of this on demand. You want to watch them? It's like, okay. Because I really hate Once a Week. I would much rather go back and find something on Netflix or something on, you know, again, on demand with my cable system. They've got a lot of shows. I'd rather go find something on Netflix that's like, hey, there's seven seasons of this. And then I know I can watch it when I want to watch it. I really got into Lie to Me on Netflix. I really enjoyed that. My wife watches a lot of shows on Netflix and iTunes and stuff. But I watch less and less TV. As I've mentioned before, I'm a big book guy. But Elementary and Big Bang I watch regularly. And I guess now that I'm caught up, unfortunately, I have to watch Game of Thrones on television now.
Yeah, I found that Netflix kind of spoils me when it comes to watching regular shows on TV, because I get into like the binge viewing, where I can just like watch one episode after the other, and you know, just get through with it and not have to wait. So
yeah, that's a big thing, and part of it too, and again, it's part of it I think is scary, but again, you know, back to my brain donor thing, it's like I think my memory and perhaps my attention span is waning, and I watch a show on, again, Elementary as an example. I watch it on Thursday, and then it's like, especially if the following week there isn't a new episode, you have to go 2 weeks. I get to the point where it's not fresh enough in my mind and after 2 weeks to care.
Yeah.
But if I sit down and watch Battlestar, for example, we started watching that on Netflix, it's, you know, I can watch two episodes or three episodes tonight because it's really good and I've got time. And it's like two nights later, it's like, oh, I can catch another one. And it stays fresh in my head. And the stories are fresh, the characters are fresh, the plot seems to tie in so much better together. I think that's one of the reasons why I like books, is that, you know, I can read, even if it's just one chapter a night, it's like every day the story stays fresh in your head. But if you could only read, you know, a chapter in your book every week, I don't think I would enjoy reading. And I'm getting that way with television.
Yeah, like when I watched Game of Thrones, I pretty much finished on a Sunday. So I was like, well, at least tonight I can watch one more episode. And they didn't show it that week. It was like three episodes the next week. And it was just like, it was driving me crazy. I was like so used to watching the three, you know, like I said, I watched the three seasons within a week. And it was just like so heartbreaking to have to wait a week. It was like, I hated it.
Yeah, I ran into that with Rescue Me, the Dennis Leary show. I found that on DVD. You know, I think it was in its fourth season when I discovered it on DVD. And my wife and I watched, you know, the first four seasons on DVD, you know, in a hurry. And it was really great, and I loved it. And then season five was coming on TV in the fall, so it's like, well, I guess we'll have to watch this one as it airs. And after about two or three episodes, we just lost interest and quit watching it. Because it's just too slow. And you get spoiled, like you say, with binge viewing.
Yeah.
That was actually just to tie this into wrestling real quick. That was the original idea behind the Wrestling Retribution project with Jeff Katz, which I have no idea whatever happened to it. But, you know, that was one of the big pitches that he wanted to do. It's like, we're going to film the entire season. It'll be released on, you know, Netflix or iTunes or in a digital format where you can just buy the season and watch it at your leisure rather than having to wait for, you know, every Thursday I get my episode of Impact. It's like, you know, you can drop your, I don't know what the price was going to be, but your $20, your, again, Netflix, I guess you wouldn't have to pay at all, but, you know, you can just drop your money, pick up the whole season and watch it when you want. And if word of mouth spreads, then someone else can just pick up season one and watch that. And, you know, that was the idea behind that project, which I thought was really cool. But it's been a year or two now, and I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, have you had any contact with Dick Cass about that?
Not in a long time. I was talking to him periodically, you know, not too long after that. And then he vanished off Twitter for like about a year. And I had heard, and again, this is strictly rumor, but I had heard he had got caught up and hooped into a Ponzi scam of some kind and lost a great deal of his own money and was, you know, in a bad way. I don't know if this was true or not, but I had heard that. And really hadn't heard anything else from him. Haven't heard from him, haven't talked to him, haven't seen him tweet a thing on Twitter in probably a year. So I have no idea what happened or if it'll still be working. I have no idea. Maybe it'll come out in a year and we'll go, oh, wow, there it is.
I wanted to ask about Jim Cornette. I just heard Cole Cabana's podcast with anyway, they were talking about how they had heat with Cornette because they had gotten rid of Cole Cabana and Generico, and there was another guy as well that Cornette had just basically forgotten to call back when the whole Sinclair thing got pushed through. When you were there for the ROH shows last year, was there any, I don't know what you would even call it, could you see anything where the boys weren't happy with Cornette?
Not really. To me, you know, it was Delirious and him seemed to be sort of jointly booking and running the show when I was there. Mm-hmm. And, again, Cornette would, again, I was only there for a couple times, but, you know, the few times I saw them doing anything or going over stuff, Cornette seemed to have a bit more of the less is more approach. And there was a few guys that, again, preferred the, you know, no reins whatsoever approach. So there was a few guys that, you know, creatively had, you know, minor differences and so forth, but there certainly didn't seem to be any tension or dissension of the ranks, if you will.
Okay. Just curious. Thanks.
At one of the shows, the Miami show, okay, Generico worked ROH, and then I think he worked,
yes,
Dragon Gate, and he also made an appearance with $5 Wrestling. Was there any talk about, like, Generico? I mean, did they know beforehand that he was going to be on the other shows?
I have no recollection of ever his name being discussed, so I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, I just remember it was kind of...
He ended up working a double shot that day. He actually worked ROH, and then later that evening, like a real double shot, not like a 2012 double shot.
Well, it was actually a triple shot because he did Dragon's Gate and he did $5 Wrestling for a while.
Okay. Yeah, a real double shot. It's old school.
Yes. Two shows in one day, not back-to-back shows.
Not three shows in a weekend. That's not a triple shot.
Uh-huh.
Now, we know why you went to the Miami show because, you know, it was part of, you know, you went to Edge's Hall of Fame. But did anybody try and get you to work Replicon this past year?
I'm sorry, what?
Did
anyone try to get me to work when?
Replicon this past WrestleMania.
I'm not entirely sure. Because, again, there's a lot of people that, you know, contact me, and if I don't recognize or know them specifically, I usually just say no and don't even look further. So there is the possibility that someone did, and I passed without even really acknowledging when it was. But it was also because I think there was a few people that asked, and again, it might have just been people asking, oh, hey, are you doing anything that weekend? Are you taking bookings? Because they just wanted to know if I was going to be around or whether it was people trying to book me. But I had a family trip to Hawaii planned in April, so I was pretty clear and adamant that I wasn't doing anything wrestling-wise that weekend.
That's fair.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't really pay attention.
This coming year, they're going to be in New Orleans, and they're going to have WrestleCon again. And if, like, let's say Brian and Dave decided to have their own, like, stand at WrestleCon, would you be willing to come in and sign autographs for them?
Actually, my daughter had expressed interest in going to Mania next year. So there's a thin possibility.
Family trip, and you can make some music money.
Yeah, so there's a thin chance I might look into getting some kind of booking there, because, again, if I'm going to go, I might as well make some money instead of having to just pay it all myself. Although I have just talked to a former student of mine about a potential trip to Australia in April, so if that ends up going together, then a Mania trip will not be happening. So not sure as yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly open to the possibility of doing something that weekend, so if there's someone running some kind of gimmick, feel free to contact me and we can consider it, but I'm not making plans
yet. I'm sure Rodney would let y'all stay at his place, that way you could save on hotel.
There you go. Nice of you to volunteer others' homes.
Yeah, maybe they'll put you in the Hall of Fame next year and you'll be going anyway.
Oh, go ahead, Kutcher.
Going back to Jim Cornette, I was wondering, who was the poor soul that you had to go and tell him that Jericho hurt himself at the Night of the Legends?
That was my wife.
Oh.
My wife was the one who broke the news to him, because she was the one that drove him to the hospital. He didn't want to go, and I convinced him. It's like, look, it's just around the corner. It's worth having a look at. You know, Tina can drive you. He's like, okay. So they scooted up the back and drove to the hospital. And then when he was diagnosed with, yes, your arm's broken, you need to have surgery in the morning, he told her, it's like, go back and tell Cornette what happened, but tell him, don't worry, the match is still happening. I will be there. We're still doing this, so tell him don't worry about it, but let him know that I'll be a little while before I can get out of here. So she drove back to the Coliseum and was the one to find Jim Cornette. Now, actually, I think I was the one that told him that something might have been up, because we were doing, he was trying to get pre-tapes and interviews and stuff done in the afternoon, and I'm one of the few people that I'm always early, so when he started telling everybody, hey, everybody, get your shit on, we need to get you guys in your gear so you can do your pre-match promos and stuff, I think I had went and got my gear and got it on, and then he came to me and was like, all right, Lance, you know, where's your partner? I'm like, he's not here right now. What do you mean he's not here? Where is he? Tina took him to the hospital. What? What the hell? And, was, you know, I'm like, well, he landed funny. His arm was bothering him. He just went to get it checked out. You know, it may be nothing, but he's like, Jesus Christ. And he's freaking out. And then she was the one that came back and ran into Jim Cornette and said, yeah, Chris broke his arm. And he, of course, blew a gasket even further. But true to his word, Jericho showed up, and the match still went on.
How much did it change the, you know, planning of that match with his injury? I mean, did it still come on?
It didn't really.
But it was different.
Didn't really change anything. Well, we hadn't. Again, we hadn't even gotten together to plan the match. But again, at the end of the day, it was supposed to be, you know. Heat on Jericho, huge blood, you know what I mean, blood stoppage, beg to restart it, and we go over. And the original actual finish, I was supposed to do a springboard drop kick onto Jimmy Del Rey after the restart, leading to Jericho schoolboy him out of that. They wanted something big. And I nixed that, just saying, you know, with Jericho behind him for the schoolboy, me doing the springboard drop kick, I'm not comfortable knowing for sure that no one's going to land on Jericho's broken arm. So I didn't want to do something that acrobatic, if you will, which is why we ended up just doing a super kick, because I was more concerned about landing on Jericho doing the springboard drop kick. So that part changed. The opening spot was originally going to be a double dive by Jericho and I, because it was basically a completely pinched spot. It was, you know, Rockers Orient Express from, like, Royal Rumble 1990 or something. Whatever year they were the opening match at the Rumble. There was this, you know, double belly to back, flip over, land on your feet, double drop kick, double dives off the posts that the Rockers did on the Orient Express that Jericho was a huge mark for. that we wanted to do in this match. And Jericho still wanted to do it, and I talked him out of it. He's like, oh, but my arm doesn't hurt. It'll be fine. And I'm like, it's broken. If you land badly, we could have bones sticking out of your forearm, and this match is screwed. And so we ended up doing – we still did the backflip and the double drop kick, although I don't think he did a drop kick. He probably just did some kind of spin kick where he could land on his feet. And then when they bumped to the floor, I went to the top, and we did, like, the rocket launcher. So we changed just to the rocket launcher so he didn't have to do the dive with a broken arm. And instead of the springboard, we did a super kick. But other than that, now it's possible that, you know, Jimmy and Tom would have done, you know, a little bit of different stuff in the heat if they weren't concerned about this dude's broken arm. But the overall layout and everything was still, we just did what we were supposed to do.
Were you expecting that much juice? Because he was a mess at the end of that match.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. You know, it was not like I went into the match going, I expect Chris to get, you know, 1.3 liters of blood. You know, I knew he needed to get a lot because we're doing a blood stoppage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he can't just get a little trickle down his forehead and have the ref wave it off. But yeah, it certainly was a lot. You know, with the exception of Eddie's with JBL, and maybe the, you know, the Lesnar Taker one that was really good. You know, it's top two or three that I've ever seen. There was a lot. And when you were there, there was, you know, just puddles and lakes of it. You know, the canvas was covered. There was puddles on the floor. Brian Hildebrand was covered. Jimmy and Tom were covered. Jericho was covered. There was a lot of blood.
I was just thinking, you know, like when he was at the hospital, if they had given him something, like maybe for pain, and maybe it helped thin his blood a little. So
he was never in pain, so they didn't give him anything.
Okay.
But I know, and again, I don't know if it actually, you know, takes effect quickly enough, but I know he took a bunch of aspirin beforehand, just because, you know, you've always heard that aspirin's a blood thinner, so whenever we had to get color, we'd always take a few aspirin. I don't know if it actually can affect that much that quickly or not. We're probably just being idiots, but I would think more than anything else, I would imagine his adrenaline and his heart rate and his blood pressure was probably through the roof after, you know, breaking your arm, going to the hospital. He almost had to escape the hospital because they posted a guard, because when he said he had to leave to go to the wrestling show, they're like, you can't wrestle. He's like, well, no, I won't wrestle, but I have to be there. And like, you can't leave. And they didn't want him to go.
Right.
And he managed to tell the one nurse he was going to the cafeteria to get something to eat and scooted out the back door and I think caught a cab back to the building. So I would imagine his heart rate and his blood pressure was through the roof. And again, he intended to get a lot. So he succeeded.
Yeah,
he
heard
that
like a lot
again,
of
did he? The shooting star press. I never saw him do one. I don't think he ever did one again.
No, after the breaking his arm, he never did one again. It was the week before, or maybe a couple weeks before, on a house show. He tried one on a house show before the show in the afternoon, and came right down on his head. Not as straight as the Brock Lesnar one, more with a little bit of a wonky twist. So he landed more with his temple. Whereas the side of his forehead into the mat, and I thought he broke his neck. And, you know, I came to ringside real quick. I'm like, are you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? And he just had a little bit of mat burn on the one side of his forehead. I'm like, it looked like you died, dude. And he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then there was ring issues where the ring didn't get set up early before the other house show, so he didn't have another chance to try it again until the Night Legends show. So that was he just decided he was going to try it again. And he even went to Jimmy, you mind if I get in the ring and just try a few things? He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead, just don't get hurt. You know, cursed him right there. And this one, you know, he wasn't pulling the rotation, so he bailed on the rotation. And ended up landing like he would if you were just doing a top rope drop kick. Like, he landed flat on his stomach fine. But he rolled out of the ring and just looked funny, and I'm like, something's wrong. So I walked to ringside, and I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, look at my arm. And I looked at his arm, and there was a dent in the one side of his forearm. And I'm like, what the hell is that? He says, I don't know. And he'd grab his forearm in the middle, and he'd push the one thing, and his forearm would bend in the middle where the dent was, and it would just bend to the side. And I'm like, that's messed up, dude. He's like, well, it can't be broke because it doesn't hurt. And he's hanging on to this bend in his forearm, bending his forearm where there's not, you know, where you're bending like you would with your elbow, but there's no elbow there. And I convinced him to go have it looked at, and yeah, and it was a displaced fracture. The one bone in his forearm was broken inward and made a little bit of a V indent in his one side of his forearm.
Wow. Now we've discussed like the wacky video promos that you guys did for Smoky Mountain, and did Cornette ever try and get you guys to take like photo shots, like the ones that the Fabulous Ones used to take that I'm sure they regret taking now?
He didn't try to get us anything we didn't do, so. You've probably seen, there's a few where, again, we're just in a pair of shorts without a shirt, you know, by a river where we're posing and stuff. There's a couple of those around, but, might even be one on my site, but, you know, they weren't anywhere near the, pseudo homosexual porn shots that, you know, were very rampant in the 80s. Fortunately, you know, we felt dumb enough just, you know, doing the workout video without our shirts on, you know, at the gym. And the other things, but thankfully we didn't end up having to do anything else that we would greatly regret later.
I wonder what Stan Kern, and, I mean Stan Lane and Steve Kern think when they see those photos. That like, I mean, like, as you said, you know, they're pretty. They look pretty gay in them.
Again, they probably remember the amount of money they made selling those photos back in the day and the amount of girls they got selling those photos back in the day, and probably have fond memories that, again, those hot babyface tag teams back in the day used to have lineups at the hotel of women that were interested in spending the night with them, so they probably got their share of women and probably sold thousands of dollars in photos, so... Well, they probably take a good ribbing and teasing nowadays. They probably don't regret doing it.
Yeah.
No, that kind of actually reminds me of a question that Craig asked Mikey Whitbrick last week, and it was about Buck Zumhoff, who had made the news last week. And the question is, like, basically everybody knew what was going on. Everybody was kind of in on it. And the question is, why do the wrestlers do stuff like that? Why do they protect their fellow wrestler, even when it's something so bad, you know what I mean? It's the one thing if you don't knock them off or like smoking a joint in the back or something. But when it comes to something like that, you know, it's like why do the boys protect the guy who's doing wrong?
I have no answer on that one because the fact that it was his daughter is pretty freaking disturbing. The only thing I can think of, just that again, you know, it's the same. I suppose a similar thing where, again, you know, the priests that cover up child molesting in the church, it's, you know, when you're part of almost a secret society, you feel like you don't want outsiders in your business, I guess. And again, I'm not justifying it on either front, be it pro wrestling or the church. You know, when you're dealing with kids, I think the kids need to come first, but that's the only rationale or excuse or... lame-ass justification I can think of, that it's just a, you know, we're sort of a secret club and we don't air our business in public, so they weren't going to blow the whistle on the guy if they in fact did know. But it's quite frightening and horrible when you think about it.
Well, not to mention there's a lot of, you don't tell on me and, you know, I won't tell on you.
That could be if... Again, if other guys were doing drugs and things that they didn't want publicly known, or again, if they're married and picking up a half a dozen rats on the road, and again, I'm certainly not condoning it. There's probably a lot of cases of guys who, you know, again, pick up rats on the road that are of questionable age. That, you know, there could be the, you know, if I start throwing him under the bus, somebody's going to throw me under the bus, and you get used to keeping your mouth shut about anything and everything. And, you know, I'm not justifying any of this. I'm just saying, you know, that's the only thing I could think of on why somebody wouldn't throw that guy under a bus or kick the shit out of him yourself or do something.
Yep.
Allegedly to everything.
Yeah. But, Lance, you've been with us a long time, so we'll go ahead and start to wrap up. So, Couture, if you have any last questions you want to ask?
No, but I have a breaking news story that Lance might find interesting. Hoping you're going to find that.
Is this the Just Incredible one?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I just read about it on Twitter and actually spoke to PJ via Twitter. So.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes.
He's okay.
So what?
Physically,
what
everyone
What's
is okay.
Story?
Yeah, give the story first, Katrina, then I'll comment.
Apparently, former Just Incredible from ECW and WWE claimed in an interview with TMZ that his family's home was broken into by three armed robbers who threatened to kill the family. He said he and
yeah.
his wife were sleeping in the family home when armed burglars broke through the kitchen window and went to an upstairs bedroom where his brother and nephew were sleeping. But like I said, the men tied his brother up with zip ties and told him he, if he made any noise, they would shoot him. And then they went to his parents' bedroom and woke them up, tied them up, and asked where the family safe was. They said there was no safe, and the men ended up taking $5 in cash from the father's wallet and took the mother's cell phone and left the house. Polacco said he didn't believe it was random because the burglars kept mentioning the name of his brother. So,
yeah, so quite,
wow,
quite horrifying. Crazy. Yeah, and when I read it, I just sent him a DM, just, you know, hope everybody's all right, and physically everybody's fine, but obviously a very traumatic experience, and probably emotionally they're not going to be fine for a while.
No.
But yeah, pretty scary. But yeah, thankfully no one was physically hurt or harmed. Although breaking into someone's house and threatening people like that to skate out with $5 and a cell phone, it's like, Jesus Christ, people, what the hell's wrong with them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good that he's okay. I mean, I remember a story that kind of upset me was, like, it came out that he was working just a regular job and people on the internet were making fun of him and giving him a hard time. It's like, well, what's he supposed to do when he's not wrestling? I mean, everyone's got to have a job to support themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the stupid Shane Douglas Target jokes. They're so fucking stupid, you know?
Well, exactly. And, again, you know, there's a few people that are fortunate enough to make big-time money that they can retire and never work again, but, you know, you've got responsibilities. I have a lot more respect for a guy that will, again, go to Target or get a regular job working at a restaurant or doing whatever that's, you know, manning up and supporting his family than somebody that's, again, hanging on to the dream and there's, you know, their illusions of stardom while, you know, their wife or girlfriend has to work three jobs to support them because they're being a bum, you know. You know, respect people for manning up and, you know, supporting themselves and their families any way they can. And again, maybe it's something they actually enjoy, too. Again, you know, it comes back to the guy smoking pot in his house and doing whatever, you know, whatever makes you happy and whatever gets you through the day, as long as you're not adversely affecting anybody else's life, it's like, hey, be happy he's got a job and supporting his family.
Agreed.
Cool. Craig, any last things first?
I actually have one more question. When Mikey was on last week, we were talking about the fight that happened at Raw when you were there in Calgary. And I was thinking, did you ever have any interesting interactions with fans? Anybody ever come over the rail at you or anything like that?
Well, didn't you once have like a whole group of like Eskimo girls try and run you down and molest you?
They weren't Eskimos. They were, again, I don't know if what's the official term now, Native American. I think First
Native
Nations.
Yeah.
I think it's First Nations communities up here. But yeah, you know, Native, Aboriginal, whatever the proper term is. It was the, you know, it wasn't Death Tour. It was Death Tour. It was the Death Tour year that we were up in, I think, Oxford House, Manitoba, which is a real northern, relatively remote First Nations community. And the ring was in the gym. We had the stage could close off. It was actually like the wooden sliding partitions to close off the stage. So the locker room was behind the stage. But we had to go into the locker room, so we had to walk through the gym and into the locker room area to shower. And I was the top baby face. I had the women screaming and yelling and cheering for me like the fabulous ones would have had back in the day, although a lot of them were probably very underage girls that didn't act like they were underage.
Mm-hmm.
And I had managed, when they'd thinned out enough, I managed to scoot into the shower room and lock the door and have a shower. And they were all banging on the door, screaming and yelling and making some very lewd propositions for probably 13-year-old girls that were quite frightening. And I had to stay in there for a long time until they finally were leaving. When we quieted down, I unlocked the door and peeked, and they were, you know, down at the far end of the gym leaving. And so I just had to scoot out this corner. So I scooted out. And again, I think I just had my towel. I didn't have a change of clothes there. And Lenny St. Clair, Dr. Luther, guy mm-hmm. with many names, but he was out there and noticed and decided to stooge me off. And in his best imitation of a native girl's voice with the, "Look, it's Lenstorm," and screamed and pointed, and all the girls, and they stampeded. And I managed to rush through the door into the backstage locker room, change room area that we were in, and a couple of the guys went to slam the door and didn't get it latched in time. And there was actually that shoving, pushing match with the door. All these women, girls, whatever, were trying to bust in. And they actually overpowered whoever was ever on the door, whether the guy just gave up or actually got overpowered, I don't know which. And they stormed through, and I did my first and most convincing heel turn of all time, because I wasn't going to be raped and molested by a bunch of crazed underage natives up in Oxford House, North Manitoba. I cocked a fist and customers like, you know, basically, you know, one step further, I'm going to drop every one of you motherfuckers, and cocked my fist and was going to punch the first one that came to me. And it was a convincing enough heel turn that they all stopped.
Nice.
And then once they all stopped, the rest of the boys managed to get them out the door without further confrontation, but I was convincing enough and intimidating enough that they all actually stopped the stampede, and thankfully I wasn't sexually molested in Oxford House, Manitoba.
That's funny. Speaking of Dr. Luther, isn't it your buddy Paul's birthday today? Have you had a chance to wish him a happy birthday yet?
I'm pretty sure it was yesterday, actually. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Oh.
Well, I traded text with him yesterday and says, "Is your birthday today?" And he's like, "Yep." So I'm pretty sure Facebook's wrong. Or maybe I was close enough that he didn't bother correcting me. I don't know which. But I noticed someone else tweeted or posted a happy birthday yesterday, and I sent him a text, and he seemed to think yesterday was his birthday. So I did, and I ribbed him about being old, and I found out he's actually older than me, which I didn't realize originally. He's 45, and I'm only 44.
So, yeah, Paul's a cool dude. He's hilarious on Twitter and on Facebook. I mean, I know you did some stand-up. I've been meaning to try and look that up on YouTube and check that out. Have you seen him?
I saw one he did not that long ago, just a video he posted on his website before his website got taken down or crashed or hacked or whatever happened to it. But I actually saw him do stand-up live back in the early 90s here in Calgary. Actually, Paul was on the Oxford House Death Tour with me, so he would have been there to witness the stampede.
He probably was the one that let himself get overpowered.
He might have been the one that put up the front and held the door for a little while and then went, "Ah, this would be a great rib, I'll step back."
Yeah.
But yeah, well, but Lenny's the one that was the problem.
Yeah. At least he didn't pants you like he did Brian in that one Battle Royal.
This is true. No, it was Paul and Luther. I think it was the whole Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
It was both. Paul definitely took part.
I was in the corner laughing with Matt Farmer, so
there you go. You had his back.
I did.
Cool. Well, Lance, we really appreciate you doing the show and staying on for such a long time. We really appreciate it, and we hope to have you back on pretty soon.
Hey, Mr. Host, you have to do something like this. You have to say, please, everyone, check out stormwrestling.com. It's where you can find Lance Storm, his Facebook page, his Twitter. All of that right there will go to all of that, stormwrestling.com. If you want to learn how to be a professional wrestler, this is the place to go. Thank you, Lance.
Thanks, Greg.
You betcha. Okay.
So, well, have a good night, Lance.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
You still didn't apologize, Craig. I'm very disappointed in you. That's the time you're ever doing the show again.
You're the host.
Did you see that? Did you see the daily update?
No. I don't think I did.
You might take a gander what he posted about our show.
I don't even care anymore. If it was my show, it'd be one thing, but it's your show.
It's our show.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just a star. But anyway, shoot, man, I thought we were on a two-hour thing. I didn't realize that we're not live, so I'm probably going to get yelled at by Stevie. But anyway, everybody check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Stream Our Show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows, like the Angry Marks Show and a whole bunch of other shows at AngryMarks.com. You can also follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or at Ed in San Antonio. Craig?
And you can follow me on Twitter at PropperJam. That's PropperJam. And I should have all the Rafflin t-shirts out here in the next week. And if you still want one, I've got a few left. So hit me up at candleofthought@msn.com. That's C-A-N-D-L-E. OFTHOUGHT, candleofthought@msn.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
You can follow me on Twitter if you want to, but I forgot my name and my password, so I'm not going to respond to anything. So, you know, do with it what you will.
Okay.
And, you can also go to youtube.com/Kuchera. I've got a big update on my playlist. I've got we've got 34 episodes of Memphis Wrestling from 1988. We've got 56 from 1983 and 84. We've got 40 episodes from Memphis TV 1981, and I'm working on like 1979, 1980 right now. So if you enjoy Memphis Wrestling, you can go in there and check that out.
Cool. Do we have, Craig, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, not really. I think I'm good.
Everybody lock your windows.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's probably some druggie that saw The Purge and broke into their house or something.
Mm-hmm.
Contreras, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No. Everybody have a good weekend.
I don't know why.
What?
I said I was going to say I don't know why I'm always surprised when you don't have anything to say.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can you make something up? I'm going to the whorehouse this weekend or something?
There
you go. That's actually a pretty exciting story you could tell.
Texas does have a whorehouse in it.
I love that movie.
That's awesome movie. I love that song.
As soon as you said that, the visual of Dolly Parton in her lingerie just popped in my head.
And Burt Reynolds wearing his Japanese slingshot Speedo.
Oh, man. That movie was so... I know the musical, too, of all things. It was... anyway, see, we did come up with something funny to end the show with. So everybody come back next week. Maybe we'll have a guest or maybe we'll have something. We'll definitely have something to talk about. So everybody come back next week and we will talk to everybody then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! Terry Funk is going crazy!
Tonight.